Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Blessings to you on this holiday weekend. To those of you joining us on live stream again, my name is Rob. I'm the lead pastor here at Salem Alliance. Hey, to those of you in the room, we just want you to know we have this service is translated, interpreted into multiple languages beyond ASL. We have a pretty cool app. So if you're new to this place and maybe English isn't your first language, I just want you to know we're really glad you're here and we're glad you're part of this community. And we just make this resource available to you. If you want help with that, there's a little booth out there. They can get you hooked up. You can download the app and hear me talking in one of 50 languages or something like that, which is crazy that this technology is getting this good. I want to make you aware, we've got 40 of our high schoolers are at a pretty cool conference called the Life Conference right now. They're joining 6,000 other high school students from across the country that are part of Alliance churches. Would you be praying for them this week? This is a pretty cool thing that happens every 3 years. I actually went to it in 1995 when I was in high school, and it was a transformative week for me. I'm praying the same for our students, and I'm praying that our leaders will be sustained because they're up at 7 and they go to bed about midnight every single night. If they're lucky, they're in bed by midnight. But would you just be praying for our high school crew as they're there? And if you're not following them on social media, I encourage you to do it. God's doing some cool stuff there among our students. Today, we're kicking off a new series about burdens. But before I get into that series, I want to make you aware of something that happens in August around this place. We do something called we do family gathers together, which means that we come together, all generations, as a church family. We bring almost all of our children into this place as well. We hand out fruit snacks. We have a good time together. We open the Word of God. This year, our theme for the series is Didn't See That Coming. And we're going to have a good time in this room. We open the doors, gather on the green afterwards, and just get to know one another. One of the beauties of August is it's a reset. We give our volunteers that work with our kids, who are just incredible, we give them a break, including even though we still have Omni, newborns to preschool, we give our volunteers a break, but we still have Omni, which means we're looking for new volunteers to just help out for that month, even if you just want to help for one Sunday. Can I encourage you to go to the Welcome Center or let Pastor Shua Yang know? We would love your help to cover the month of August in there. But today we're launching this new series called Burdens, and we're talking about the burdens that we all carry. We all walked into this room with some burdens. Back when we were prepping for the Holy Week, our worship team and some of our pastoral preaching team went away to Mount Angel for a day. This is our habit, to hear from the Lord. What is it that you're putting on our hearts to share with the congregation? And we heard really clear just this idea that reminds people that Jesus paid for our burdens on the cross, that we don't need to carry them alone. And so if you were here, especially on Good Friday, we kind of curated a service around this concept of giving up our burdens to Him. In fact, you probably grabbed one of these on that night when you came in, and we asked you to ask the Lord to reveal to you a major burden that you're carrying that He doesn't want you to carry anymore. And many of you wrote those down on pieces of paper, and when the time came, you actually got up and you laid them here, an example of laying them, giving up control, laying them at the foot of the cross. Well, we hung on to those. There was like over 600 of them, I think, and we hung on to them. I've put them back at the feet of the cross. And as we just began to talk to people, it seemed like God was doing something, that we as a people carry a lot of burdens. And we began to hear stories of just how it felt to relinquish a level of that. And it was interesting when we heard people and we were talking to people, what are the burdens that you're carrying? Some of them actually surprised us. I mean, it doesn't necessarily surprise us, but that it became the major one. And because of that, we decided to take this month of July and to just talk about burdens, but not because we want to sit in them, because we want to be free of them, because we want to walk them together as a community, because we want to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about the burden of weariness, the burden of perfectionism. Anyone struggle with that one? The burden of shame. And finally, the burden of loneliness. And so we're going to be looking and doing somewhat of a biblical character study for each of these and looking at biblical characters that struggled with these burdens. And today we'll launch by looking at the life of Moses. In the last month, if you ever answered the question, how are you, with that beautiful response, busy, I'm busy, I want you to know that this sermon was crafted with you in mind. Today, I want to talk to us about this concept of weariness. And though it's a holiday weekend, and though the weather is absolutely perfect outside, and though many of us are adjusting to almost a little bit more laid-back summer schedule, the truth is that for the majority of us, we walked in this room and we would say we're a bit tired, we're a bit weary. Some of us would say we're exhausted. And so I feel that this is an important topic for us today. It's one that I have struggled with throughout my whole life. In my late 20s, I was tossed into a leadership position that I was honestly too young and too immature to probably carry. I was made director of this non-government organization, a nonprofit, an international nonprofit in the Middle East. And we were just getting this new organization launched. And we bought this building that we were able to rehab, and we launched the community center. And it was like the favor of the Lord was on this thing. And we were running full speed. Jess was running a women's wellness program and running dance and exercise classes three nights and three mornings a week. We were running a prenatal clinic, a mobile veterinarian clinic, language programs, poverty alleviation programs, all of these different things. We were getting it off the ground and it was all growing. We were both working full time while raising three kids under five with a fourth on the way. We were building this incredible Arab staff. We were welcoming teammates that were internationals that were coming in, and those were incredible days. I look back at that season with just this excitement of all that we got to do. And at the same time, it can coexist, believe it or not, those were awful days. Those were horrible days. We were so out to prove ourselves, so young and full of energy, but we were also immature. And any time someone would ask, how are you doing? The answer immediately would be way too busy. And man, when people would speak of our capacity, of our perseverance, of our ability to be resilient and pioneer new things, we came alive. Why? Because our identities were so wrapped up in what we were accomplishing. We were the most faithful, just hardworking couple on the planet in our minds. And because of that, God must be so pleased with us. On the outside, the production that we were making happen seemed like a total success. I mean, they say the proof is in the pudding, a saying I don't understand at all, but it seems to fit here. It's a weird saying if you really think about it. But over time, another really solid saying became true for us. The body always keeps the score. The body always keeps the score. The stresses began to get to some of our international teammates that ended up just taking off and returning to their home countries. And yet we stayed and we took on their roles as well, because what we were doing was so important. And if we left, it would all fall apart. So we kept going until we couldn't anymore. Until the burnout hit, until Jess in her final trimester of pregnancy with our fourth child began to develop boils over her body that she still bears the scars of. Until me, a person that can sleep anywhere, anytime, as soon as I stop moving, began to battle insomnia and anxiety in ways I had never experienced. We finished that 4-year contract not on empty. We were done. Burnout won. Weariness had won. We were so young and so foolish. Whenever I read our text that we'll look at today, I think of this season of life. I think of the immaturity that we faced. I think of myself, and there's still times where I need to repent of the pride that I still have that we did make it, that we stayed, because it's so immature, because my identity was so wrapped up in accomplishment. But when I think of that season, I'm also thankful for the realignment and the processing that it brought to me that we get to continue to share with others. Today we'll be in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 18. I encourage you to turn there with me in the Bibles that you have in your pew or on your apps or however you might want. The book of Exodus is the second book in the Bible. If you want to find it, just go past Genesis. It's there. If you're using the Bible there in the pew, it can be found on page 62. The main lesson I take from that season of life that I walk through is also what I think is kind of the main idea of this text. And I hope you see this as we read through it, but it's this idea that weariness is actually not a badge of honor. If somebody had told me that when I was 28, it could have saved me a lot of heartache. Weariness is actually a warning light that we've forgotten who is truly in charge and where our identity comes from. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Exodus chapter 18, starting in verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" Moses replied, "Because the people come to meet me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions." "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You're going to wear yourself out. And the people too. The job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me, and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. Teach them God's decrees and show them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. They should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves. They will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace." Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. He chose capable men from all over Israel and appointed them leaders over the people. He put them in charge of groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. These men were always available to solve people's common disputes, and they brought the major cases to Moses, but they took care of the smaller matters themselves. This is the word of the Lord. A quick reading of this word, and you could see this as just an incredible example of good leadership, of the power of delegation and the importance of delegation, of the importance of adapting as a leader, as what it is that you are leading continues to expand and grow. But today, I want us to look beyond the leadership qualities. I want us to look beyond the problem that was solved, and I want us to look at the main character, Moses, in this wall that he was about to hit of weariness. How did he get there? What was going on in his life? We know a lot about this guy, Moses. We know that when he was called, it was a personal calling. He was called and there was a burning bush and the Lord got his attention and spoke to him. We know that he had a level of, he was timid, he was insecure. He said, "I don't want this calling. I am slow of speech, find somebody else." But God reminded him, "You are the one that I am giving this assignment to." And as Moses began to receive that mantle of leadership, he became an incredible mediator between God and the people of Israel. We see him continue to grow. He was a humble leader. He was an intercessor for his people. Righteous anger showed up at the right times. He was such a great man. But as our story here shows us today, though he was so committed to his calling and the assignment that he was given, he was also on a path that was unsustainable. He was on a path towards weariness. We all have a little bit of Moses in us. We all have these callings and assignments that we carry, and they're good and they're noble and they're important. And for some of you, your assignment is to care for a neighbor or a widow or to care for your children or your aging parents. For some of you, you've been given a God-ordained assignment to lead, to provide for a group of people, to be a learner for this season, to make ends meet, to work on your inner self. These are all varying assignments that we are given. But the problem is something must be off if many of these good callings are causing us to feel weary. Moses started to hit this wall of weariness. And this morning, I first want to begin by looking at this text and seeing two potential reasons why I think he was starting to hit this wall. The first reason is I believe that he put the role over the relationship. He began to replace the relationship with the role. Moses had his dedication. He was called to be a prophet, called to be a priest, but that became more important than his relationship with the one who actually called him and gave him the assignment. Suddenly, the job he was assigned became not a life-giving purpose, but an exhausting burden. And that should have been a light for him. Something was off. To the chronically busy people in the room, to the weary overachievers, myself included, understand that we've been created and we have an incredible strength. We have capacity. We have an ability to persevere and work hard. But there's a dark side to that, because when our strength is overdone, what happens is our achievement and our accomplishing becomes the main thing. And that's where we get in trouble. When our assignment moves from a partnership with God, which is actually a form of worship, to an exhausting burden, something is off. And we see it here in Moses' life. If you read into this text, you can see probably a level of defensiveness when his father-in-law comes to him and says, "What are you trying to accomplish with all this? Really, what do you think you're doing? People are standing around waiting all day." And I can just see Moses kind of digging in his heels and saying, "Excuse me? I'm the man. I'm the guy. I'm the entrusted one. I inform God's people of his decrees. I'm the one who settles the disputes. What am I doing?" What has happened here is the role has begun to replace the relationship. The other thing I see here is that Moses starts to fall into the trap of self-reliance. Self-reliance was confused with stewardship. We see that in his reluctance to actually delegate the work. And let me just remind you really quickly, whatever your assignment might be, God can complete it without you. He simply chooses you to invite, he invites you in to partner with him in carrying it out. You're called to be a steward with him. I always just kind of laugh at this story, because here is Moses, the wise one, the sage, the one that people are lining up to get wisdom to, and yet the solution to his issue is so glaringly obvious. "Why don't you just delegate it a little bit there, Moses?" How did the sage not see how unsustainable the system had become? Well, I believe that the blinder was self-reliance. It's self-reliance. And I think more of us actually struggle with this than we think. Because when you start to have some self-reliance creep in, what happens is you begin to become possessive of things. You become possessive of the assignment. You begin to control more things. And you think your control actually shows your commitment to the assignment. But your control is simply control. And what happens is then you begin to slide into this deal where you fall into the illusion that you're indispensable, that no one else could do it, that it would all fall apart without your presence. Think about the last school group project that you did, or a project at work, or even your parenting. Oftentimes, we sit there and we just continue to talk about how important we are, how we're just carrying so much of the weight, and we're complaining about it, and at the same time, we love the way it makes us feel, because we've bought the lie, and we're walking towards this illusion of indispensability. Moses walked down this path. We see these things beginning to manifest in his life. But here's the good news. Moses wasn't taken out. He came up to the cliff of weariness, but he didn't fall over. His adrenal gland never fully betrayed him. His wife never threw in the towel and said, enough is enough. Bitterness never creeped in for how much work he was carrying and took him out of the game. No, Moses is able to get back on the right path. So what was the key for him? Because I need some of that. Well, here in the text, I see three things, but they're all connected to humility. I believe that humility is the key. Moses took the path through humility to get out of weariness. What breaks self-reliance? Humility. What breaks an illusion that I am indispensable? Humility. The first thing I see is that he embraced wisdom from the outside. Moses demonstrated humility by receiving Jethro's counsel. We need to recognize that oftentimes there are things about us, things that we are doing that we can't see and everybody else can, which is super scary if you're to be honest about it. But here he's confronted and God chooses to get his attention by using this guy named Jethro. Now, what's the difference between an outlaw and an in-law? Outlaws are wanted. In-laws are not. We definitely don't want their advice. And yet God brings his father-in-law to confront him. In scripture is interesting because in this narrative, it mentions how many times does it mention his father-in-law, his father-in-law, his father-in-law. It's like he's just getting jabbed over and over. And the advice comes from his father-in-law. I think it's what leads Moses to be declared in Numbers chapter 12 as the most humble person on the face of the earth. Some of us are weary and we don't even notice that we are running on empty. The burden's big. It feels like there's no way out. If we stop running at this speed, it's all going to crumble. Yet, friends, might there be someone in your network that sees it a little different, that can bring the outside perspective to cast a vision for a pathway forward? Can we pause long enough from our busyness to allow a trusted friend, a coworker, God forbid, even an in-law, to help us evaluate some things? For Moses, breakthrough came through the humble acceptance of a perspective of an outsider. The second thing he does on this path of humility is he discovers the divine design of community, of shared responsibility. Moses learns that community isn't just practical, it's actually sacred. God distributes gifts among many of us so that we can carry the burdens together, not alone. This is how the church actually operates, a group of people humbly being honest with one another, carrying each other's burdens spiritually through prayer, but also practically by carrying them together, by lending a hand in the time of need. Our country seems to be in the midst of an epidemic of loneliness, and we, the church, should actually be a bit offended that we've let it happen, because we have just the secret that understands the power of community. We should be the light that shows the world what it looks like to truly operate in this way. We have the sayings, many hands make the work light. It takes a village. We need to be that example to our community. And look, I understand that we are a large church, which means that some people come because we're a large church, because they can slip in and out and they can remain part of a community anonymously. And if that's kind of the posture that you've been taking, just once again, I want to invite you to this transformation of what true community looks like. Would you begin to linger before and after services? Would you consider joining a life group? Would you begin to serve in community, serving our community? Because I believe there is a divinely ordained beauty when we begin to just carry one another's burdens in this way. And Moses discovered it. The final thing that I see that he does that's really the hardest to do is he surrendered control to its rightful owner. Moses found rest when he acknowledged that God alone is sovereign. He had allowed him to release his grip on the outcomes and find peace in the one that called him and partners with him. Please understand that Jesus doesn't offer us some weird immediate rescue from all of our burdens, but instead he gives us a new way to walk with them, with him, in him, through him. Christ is our rest. In Matthew 11, there's a powerful passage. It's probably familiar to you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You will find rest for your souls. It's a powerful promise. And yet so many of us struggle to see Jesus as this humble person that wants to give us rest. We are struck and we're stuck with this image of Jesus as like performance evaluation Jesus, as this boss that is always there and judging every little thing we do with his clipboard. And we go in for that meeting and we just feel like we got all these satisfactory checks and there's a couple places of improvement, but please stop viewing Jesus as the performance guy. It's not who he is. Matthew 11 reminds us that he is gentle and he wants to bring you rest. He wants to carry your burdens with you. And his voice is anything but condemning. It is gentle and it is kind. We need this accurate depiction of Jesus. He's a friend, as we've talked about in our series, The Trinity. He says, seek my face, not just my hands for accomplishment. Church family, weariness is not a badge of honor. It's a warning light that we've forgotten who is truly in charge, that we've forgotten where our identity comes from. I want us to close today, and as the worship team comes, I want to invite you to join me in a responsive reading. Declarations that we get to make in community. Would you stand and would you read this? I'll be reading the first part. Would you join me in reading what is in bold? And would you just reflect on these words? We gather today as pilgrims on a journey, each carrying invisible weights upon our shoulders. Some bear the heaviness of grief, others the strain of uncertainty and perfection. Many among us struggle with illness and financial worry, loneliness, or relationships in need of healing. These loads were never meant for us to carry alone, for we serve a God who understands our weariness and offers divine strength when ours has run dry. In our weakness, your strength becomes perfect. When we try to manage life's challenges through our own power, we often find ourselves exhausted and overwhelmed. The weight grows heavier with each step. Yet there is a profound freedom in surrender, in acknowledging that we were created for dependence on our Creator. The same hands that formed the mountains are extended to us now, ready to lift what we cannot bear. In our weakness, your strength becomes perfect. Today, let us release the false belief that strength means carrying everything ourselves. Instead, let us embrace the paradox of our faith, that true power is found in vulnerability, true wisdom in admitting our limitations, and true courage in asking for help, both from our Heavenly Father and from one another in this community of believers. In our weakness, your strength becomes perfect. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.